Since you all have in your bulletin to a sermon outline to follow along with me this day. And what is the title of our message this morning?
Free to serve.
I'm sorry, it's this afternoon. Look at me. I haven't woken up all the way. Now, this is part three, the last sermon of a sermon series called Set Free. So I'm going to give you a quiz today for those of you that have been here. Pastor Rick preached Set Free to? Pastor Toby preached Set Free to? I'm doing serve. All right. Pastor T preached Set Free to? Praise God. See how good you all got, like an A minus on that. Good job, saints. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this wonderful and awesome and amazing day. None of us, Lord, were guaranteed to wake up this morning. But you allowed all of us that are here gathered today to wake up, to take another breath, gave us another opportunity, Lord Jesus, to know you, to experience you, and understand, Lord, that we should not take one day for granted, that our eternity is with you. So open our eyes that we may see you. Open our ears that we may hear you. But most of all, open our hearts that we may receive you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. What is this? Money, that's right. We like money, don't we? $10. $10. What do we do with this?
Spend it.
Spend it, that's right. We sure do. We like to spend lots of these, don't we? Another way, saints, though, to talk about spending money means that we are giving our money away to somebody else so that we can get something, right? Now, all of us like going shopping. So when we go shopping, we don't go shopping with the thought that our pockets are going to be empty, right? So if we go to the door of the grocery store, we don't walk in there thinking that we're going to go in with empty pockets and bring back out a shopping cart full of food, right? So we go in the door of the grocery store with some money, and then we come back out with some groceries. Right? Now, if we went to the bank trying to get some of these, we had already had put some of these in, right? If we go to the door of the bank expecting to get some money out and we haven't put any money in, we going to jail. You know, don't you love the kids? They say, Mama, you got some money? You say, no. They tell you to go to that ATM and use your card. You tell them you got to put some in order to get some out. We go to the gas station as high as gas prices are right now. If I take my $10, I'm not going to get a lot. But I can't get nothing if I don't take this $10 with me, right? I got to go to the gas station with my money in order to get some gas in my gas tank. So we all know that when we leave out of the door in our day-to-day affairs, if we are going somewhere shopping or to purchase something, we have got to take some money with us to give something in order to get something back out. Here's the deal, though, saints. Why is it that we understand when we go to the grocery store, the clothing store, the shoe store, the bank, or the gas station, we understand that we got to take some of these with us? But when we get to the door of the church, what is it that most people expect that they don't have to bring in any of these, but they can get a whole lot out? Isn't that something? You know, you get to the door of the church, and I love listening to different radio stations. And it's this radio man named Michael Bazin. So y'all listen with me. Michael Bazin always encourages, and please somebody send this sermon to Michael Bazin. Michael Bazin always encourages us, always encourages people who's listening. When you need help, go to the church. He says some churches need to open up their doors and let everybody come in. They need money, they need groceries, they need food, they need all this stuff, they need free counseling. But he don't tell any of them to bring any of these with him. What the? He said, those churches need to open up the doors and help everybody out. And I'd be thinking, Michael Bazin, why don't you tell them to come to your radio station? and you give them some free food, and you give them some free gas money, and you give them some free counseling. But you see, saints, when people get to the door of the church, they expect that they can go in and get everything out, even when they haven't put anything in. Have you ever heard someone say that those people at those churches got a whole lot of money? Isn't that funny? Do you all feel like you got a whole lot of money? No. But they think, those people on the outside think, we all got all the money in here. I know you've heard people say, those people at those churches are rich. They got some money in there, and if all of them would get together and put their little bit of money together, then they can give it to me. And in fact, these people talk about us having so much money that some of them get angry when we tell them we don't have it. Some people get angry when we tell them we broke just like you are. You know, ever been outside the church and somebody say, you know, can you got some change to spare to give me a little money? I want to go get some coffee or McDonald's. And you tell them you don't have none here. They go, you know you got some money. You can just give me some. Y'all just so stingy around here. They get so angry when we tell them no, don't they? And it's funny that the church is the one place, saints, where people expect to go and get something for nothing. Some of us that actually give to the church, we will have to think, we must be nuts, we must be crazy to take our money inside these doors to give our money when we know that we're not going to get anything material back out. I mean, every time we put our money in that offering plate, did anybody get any shoes? Did anybody get any clothes today or groceries or free gas? Did anybody get more money? Did you dig back in and take some back out? Well, I hope you didn't. So it would seem that we would almost be nuts to give our money away when we know we're not getting anything in return. And one would ask the question, why do we give? Why do we give when we're not going to get any shoes, groceries, or even some gas back? Well, one of the answers is that we give so that we can be free. So that we can be set free. Free from the material trappings of materials and money. You see, saints, a part of Christian giving is having the freedom to serve. The freedom to serve God with our money. And that includes serving people who don't deserve it. Serving people who may or may not need it. Ever wonder when somebody asks you for money if they really needed it? And you kind of wonder, should I be giving you my money? Because you're probably going to take it and do something you're not supposed to do it. So we serve people who may or may not need it. And why do we do this? Because we're not getting anything out of it. Why do we do this? Because God is glorified through it. Serving God sets us free. Serving God with our finances, though, is a different story. Have you ever thought about it? Sometimes it's hard to even wrap our minds around it, saints. That when we serve God fully with our time, our gifts, our talents, and our money, lives are changed. People are made new and different, saints. Now, our scripture from the New Testament, it came from the Sermon on the Mount. Many of us are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount was an interesting sermon, saints, because Jesus here raises the bar. Have you ever heard that statement, raising the bar? Some of us put the bar way down here, and it don't take much effort to get over. Some of us, the bar touching the floor, under the floor, we just walk right over it. Some of us put it about waist high, so we got to make a little bit of effort, but not so much. But Jesus says, I'm setting the bar way up here. We are not common people. We are different when we become Christians, when we give our lives to the Lord. And he sets the bar up here and says, your life is not just about morals and values. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm a good person, I'm good, I'm gonna make it to heaven just because I'm good? We cannot be good enough. We cannot be good enough. Jesus says the bar is up here. It's not about morals and values. He even goes on to say, it's not about legalism. Ever know those Christians, you following all the rules? get to church early, come to Bible study, got your little prayer that you say every day. You following all those rules, but Jesus is saying the bar is up here. Get deeper. Grow wider. I have more in store for you. So Jesus is here preaching his Sermon on the Mount. And he is talking to a crowd of people. Just like we're here today. We're a crowd of people. But Jesus, when he's in this crowd of people delivering this Sermon on the Mount, he looks past the entire crowd and he looks for his own. You see, only those, even though Jesus speaks to all of us, only those that are Jesus, his own, can hear him. Jesus says, I called my own and my own hear me. So Jesus is in the crowd of people saying, I'm putting the bar up here, but everybody isn't hearing. Everybody isn't in hearing. You have to be a child of God. You have to have given your heart to Christ to be able to hear from the Lord. Just like we're sitting here today, I'm doing this sermon right now. Some of you will sleep all along. You didn't even wake up when you got here this morning. So you already didn't hear. Some of us are already dazed off and, you know, you just blank in space. So we know you're not hearing. But those of us that know Jesus, those of us that whenever the word is read or the word is preached or songs are sang in glory to Jesus, we feel a little stirring inside. We feel like, whoa, Jesus, you're speaking right to me. Am I the only one in the room you're talking to, Lord, today? Jesus raises that bar for us in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, I am setting you free. I need you to have an authentic relationship with me. You see, an authentic relationship with Christ means true prayer, transformative prayer. When everything we do, soon as it happens, I'm on my knees praying to the Lord. True fasting, true loving, and most of all, true giving. True giving. You see, saints, we cannot ask for revival. We cannot ask for transformation if we're not willing to put up some money to make sure it happens. You see, I know us at Glenville, most of us like giving, right? Amen. We have a heart to help those even when they don't deserve it. And you see, saints, sometimes we help those that even don't deserve it because we know at one time we were the ones who didn't deserve it. Matter of fact, today we're the ones that don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But saints, we have this heart to give. And we have a heart to help people, but the reality is, most of us in here are in debt. Unless you a five-year-old, you probably got some debt up in here. The average American family, saints, owes about $11,000 on credit cards alone. That is not including your light bill that's late, your gas bill that's probably already turned off, your car note, your water bill, your doctor's bills, because those come like nobody's business. You wonder why you even have health insurance, because some doctor bills come so fast. That doesn't include your bills to pay for food or any, you know, entertainment or getting your nails done or your hair done. That doesn't include anything. $11,000 just for credit cards. Many of us have a stack of bills. Who got the stack? Stack of bills. You keep looking at it, but it just don't go away. Many of us dodging the phone calls, looking at our you know. We're looking at the telephone like, who is it? Tell the kids, tell them I'm not here. Wouldn't it be nice to be set free from bills? Wouldn't it be so nice to be free to serve God with our money whenever God asks us to do so? Here's the problem. Ever heard that statement, robbing Peter to pay Paul? That's what most of us are doing. We are taking a little bit from here to put a little bit over here. We come to church on Sunday, we hear a great message, and we say, oh, I got to get my tithe. But that took that money from the phone bill in order to pay my tithe. So I paid my tithe, but now my phone bill is due, so I'm going to take a little bit from the light bill to pay the phone bill. Okay, now the light's about to get turned on. And we stay in these cycles, saints. We stay in these cycles because they're just not enough. Sometimes it's just not enough. We just don't have enough. And we have to be honest and say, how can I help somebody else coming through the doors of the church when most of the time I'm the one that needs some help? Feel it? You want to be a help to somebody. You want to share your $10 with somebody else, but you need $10. We as African Americans, we were not born into the lap of luxury. Anybody here born in the lap of luxury? Because if you are, I really want to talk to you after service today. Couple of us want to talk to you. We were not born into the lap of luxury. We were born into the lap of poverty. Most of us worked very hard for our money. Our parents worked hard for their money and tried to help us to get a little bit better than they had it. But our little bit is still not enough. We came from a people, saints, that fought for their freedom. We came from a people who really had nothing. And you see, when we were enslaved to master, we thought we want that American dream. We wanted what those people had that lived in the big house. We wanted the cars and the food. We wanted the service. We wanted what they had, saints. But what we could not see, saints, while we were so busy fighting for our freedom from master, was that in becoming free from master, we became enslaved to money. We switched one master for the new master. We left slavery from one form and entered slavery into a new form. And I know you're sitting there thinking, I'm not no slave to money, Pastor Kelly. I'm not no slave to money. But here's our, if you're a slave in money to money quiz. Do you have things right now that you have bought that you really don't need? How many pairs of shoes can one person have? You can only wear one a day. You know, how many times do we have to buy stuff when you know you don't need it. You're just in the store buying stuff. You know you do not need it. Question number two, do you purchase things that you know you cannot afford? Some of us need to stay out of Best Buy. You go in Best Buy and you see that big screen television. You think, wow. You see that $5,000 price that go with it. You know you don't have $5,000 to save your life. You don't have $2 to save your life. As soon as they tell you, you want to apply for store credit, you be like, yeah. Don't matter if you already got five other credit cards that you can't pay. Next question. Who here has a television in every room or every other room? Saints, I'm guilty with y'all. That's how I knew I was enslaved. We can only watch how many TVs at a time. All of us in here have had the experience, unless we real little, we've had the experience of having one television in the living room. Everybody watched the same television. Whoever was the oldest one in the room got the remote, or the kids had to get up and switch the knob. Here's another question to find out if you're enslaved. Are you the person that says, I never wear anything old? Don't you be passing me no hand-me-downs, because I'm not wearing that. I need me some name brand. I got Rockaway, Polo, whatever. It's not too many of y'all in here today. Y'all with me. We gonna wear whatever look good that day, whatever's clean. Here's a true test to see if we're enslaved for money. Excuse me, saints. Can I have some money? I'm standing here with my hand open. Can I have some money? All right. Thank you, Vanita. One person got up. The rest of y'all talking about what you need. What you mean what I need? I asked you for some money. What you to us and ask us, can they have some money? That's a true way of knowing if we're enslaved to our money, because we go like this. Well, what you need? How much you need? When you going to give it back? Well, I got bills of my own to pay. Someone comes and says, can I borrow $50? Well, the last time I let you borrow $50, you didn't give it back. You know that's right. How we know that we're not enslaved to money is that when someone comes to us and says, can I have some money? Here we are. Here's some money. Can I give you a little bit more? You feel, Benita. Thank you. I appreciate your dollar. Thank you. But when someone asks us for money, instead of begrudging, instead of thinking, you know, something is not right in this, we cheerfully and joyfully say, yes, I'm willing to help you out. How can we do that, though? Because we're not enslaved. We're free. And you see, saints, when we give away our money, we know that the Lord is watching and saying, they just gave away some money, so I got to be on my game to make sure that they got what they need, being free from our finances. You see, many of us want to be free, but we are enslaved to debt. We are enslaved to money, and debt and money disempowers us. We lose our power when we get all of our focus on money. And as I said before, Jesus raised that bar, and God is calling us to a different standard of living. Now, saints, I know, because I was just like y'all. I sat in this church, too. I was a member. And I know it doesn't make sense to help people that don't deserve it. It just does not make sense to give money to ungrateful people who storm away and tell us, you know you got that money. Doesn't make sense to give away money, saints, especially when we working so hard for it. But saints, even though it doesn't make sense, we are always reminded that either one time in our past, one time right now in our present, or possibly in the future, we are or will be the ones who don't deserve it. We are the ones who are not grateful. How many of us pray for a blessing, got a blessing from the Lord, and all you said was, thank you, Lord? That's all you had on it. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you with the ability to pay your lights, your gas, your water, to put some money in your savings account, and instead of shouting, hallelujah, Lord, you provided for me, we go, well, thank you, Lord. When you gonna give me the rest? We are also the ones that at times act like we don't know the Lord. But we're always expecting a blessing. And God looked down upon us, these undeserving, ungrateful people who always act like we don't know Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you everything. So the question is, do we want to be set free to give back to God who gives us everything? You see, our scripture reading said, we cannot serve two gods. We will either love the one and despise the other. And most of us are really more in love with our money than we are with Jesus Christ. We just don't trust it. I know you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Kelly, I want to give, but I just don't trust. I just don't trust the church. Many people say, and I remember saying it myself before I gave my heart to the Lord, them pastors just looking for a way to get our money. Now, y'all know y'all said it too. Pastors just want some new shoes and a new car and a new big house. Now, let me show y'all my shoes. Can y'all see them? How many times have y'all seen me wear these shoes? A whole bunch. How many times y'all see me wear this hairstyle, this jacket, and maybe the dress y'all might not have seen, but it's the only thing I had today. I had to mix and match. Most pastors are not rich. Now, we do have to admit there are some pastors who've been blessed by God, and they're part of those mega churches, and they have a lot of money. Amen? But most of us are not rich. Most of us are not looking to try to get your money so we can go buy some new shoes. If we look just along 105, how many of these pastors do you think are multimillionaires? None of them. If they are, we all need to be down at their church. We are not rich. Now, we do have to confess that there have been some pastors who have taken advantage of their congregation. But just like there have been some pastors that have taken advantage, there's been some police officers who took advantage, some doctors who took advantage, some lawyers who took advantage, some teachers who took advantage. There's people in every profession that takes advantage. And just because there are one or two bad apples in the bunch doesn't make the whole bunch bad. I love being Presbyterian, because in the Presbyterian church, there are checks and balances. You all know what I make, don't you? You come to the congregation meetings, if you're new to Glenville, you probably don't know, but we put out a monthly statement. We have a yearly meeting. Everybody gets to see how much the pastors make, how much the secretaries make, how much the janitors make, how much the praise band makes. Everybody in this church, you know how many dollars we get or don't get sometime. If I ask you today, can I see your paycheck, would you let me see it? Can I see how much you make? Some of you would be willing to show it because you know you tithe your 10% or more. Some of you don't want to show us your paycheck. But most of us as pastors or people who work in the profession of the church, we are not walking around trying to steal people's money. Because we know we're accountable to God. But saints, even if pastors weren't doing the right thing, or the secretary wasn't doing the right thing, or anybody else in the church wasn't doing the right thing, it does not stop the fact that God expects each of us to do the right thing. Sometimes we're so busy looking around with such and such has and with such and such gave. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and they used to post every Sunday how much everybody gave. Anybody ever seen something like that? In the bulletin, Miss Jackson gave this much, Miss Johns gave that much, Mr. Williams gave that much. Y'all remember that? Well, today, if I brought out all of our offering statements, would you be proud to show your offering statement today? Some of us would. Some of us would like looking, don't show them offering statements, Pastor Kelly. But even if we were to look, because you see, saints, sometimes we get to the point where we start saying things like, such and such is not giving, so why should I give? Such and such only gave $5, so I'm only going to give $5. Or on the other side, we say, such and such gives so much money, why should I give? And we let those that are giving more carry the whole boat. But that does not stop God from saying to all of us, all Christians are called to serve God through tithing. Through tithing, every single one of us, saints, we got to stop looking around at what other people are doing and focus on what God is calling us to do. You know, today, we all have these cards. You all got your cards. The ushers gave them to you. Serve. And I want you all to write down, and I want you to go home. This is your homework assignment today. You got homework like I'm a teacher. I want you to write down one thing that you can do to become free from your debt. And I'm going to give you some examples. Because you see, saints, when I came through the doors of Glenville, I was still in college. I had debt falling out of my ears. I was in so much debt. All I knew was bills. My stack wasn't yay high. It was way taller than me. I had college loans, car notes. Every utility bill was late or beyond its past due. I had too many bills. And I got to this church that was preaching about tithing and giving. And I said, I want to do that. I want to be like them. But I couldn't afford to. I had so much debt. And so, saints, but I started listening. You see, because there are those here today that have been set free from debt. Can you raise your hand if you've been set free from debt? We need to go to those people and say, what did you do to get out of debt? We don't need to be talking to the ones that's just like us, that's all in debt. We need to be talking to the other ones. And what's good about Glenville, too, saints, you see, because sometimes we watch on TV, they invite you to come and figure out your finances and how to get out of debt. But then you got to pay to go to that class. Isn't that funny? They tell you can come and pay to get out of debt. And you're like, come and pay and get out of debt. I mean, Dad, I don't got no money for your class. But we have people like Walter and Katie who lead workshops on finances. Walter, raise your hand so people know who you are. But he knows how to get out of debt. Ask the people that have done it. Give you some ideas on what I did to get out of debt. Give up pop. Give up soda. And I know you're thinking, that doesn't make sense. Give up soda. We spend $44 billion a year on soda. How much of that is your money? How many of y'all say, I can't drink no water. I don't ever drink no water. All I do is get my Pepsi or my Coke or my Diet Pepsi, whatever you drink. And those things cost $1 each. If you bought one every day, that's $365 you don't spend already. That's just on your soda pop. Give up fast food. Oh, that was hard. Some of y'all didn't like that. We spend $1, $2, $3 every other day on McDonald's burgers, McDonald's dollar menu. If we start taking that $1 and put it in our own pocket, we would have some money. Give up the snacks. Oh, I know, I'm just getting on y'all nerves right now. She wants us to give up everything. I'm telling you all, I'm not saying these things because I have not done it. You all say to me, well, Pastor Kelly, how you lose so much weight? I stopped drinking pop, I stopped eating McDonald's, and I gave up the snacks. Saved myself some money, and I got healthy in the same time. Many other ways, saints. One last way I'm going to give us is once we make the commitment to tithe, be committed. You see, saints, we have this tithing pot. And then we have the pot that pays the shoes and the pot that pays the clothes and the food and every other pot that we have with our money. And as soon as something goes wrong, we say, well, you know what? I don't have money for my shoes. I'm just going to take it out of the tithe. I don't have money for my lights. I'm going to take it out of the tithe. I don't have money for gas. I'm going to take it out of the tithe. Why is it that we never take from another pot? Instead of saying, you know what? I don't have money for shoes. I'm going to take it out of the car money. We take it out of the tithe pot. Be committed to tithing. Once we make that commitment, don't turn back. Take from every other pot but the tithe. But the tithe. You see, saints, because if we really want to be set free, if we really want to be set free, we have to allow God to reign over every area of our lives, including our money. Including our money. And when we allow God to reign over every area of our lives, including our money, we become set free. How do we become set free, though, you may ask? Well, we begin to experience God more fully. You see, saints, you can't be saying, I'm going to give my money to God and trust that God is going to provide for me. Who are you talking to up there if there's nobody providing? When we say we lift our eyes up to the hills from whence comes my help, if nobody is up there helping you, we are wasting our time. So when we experience God fully, when we are free from our money, we start actually experiencing God. That means we start talking to God. You see, because when we give our money and we know we still got a need, we start actually praying and say, Lord Jesus, you know how much I got in this pot, and I'm going to need your help because I'm afraid. Ever gave a tithe, you were shaking so bad, you was like, I know I don't have no money. And you put it in there anyway. Because we are trusting God. You see, in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, God says, trust me and I will show you. We always feel that trust you, but he says, show you. Who is showing you something if there is no God? He says, I'm going to show you. Show you what? When God says, I'm going to show you something, that means get ready. He's about to show us something. And it's not always double or nothing, because sometimes we put our 10 in and we're waiting for God to show us 20. And then we get frustrated. We can't see all the other blessings that God has given to us because we're waiting to see the $20. We put our money in and God allowed us to get a new job. We put our money in and God allowed education opportunities to open up. We put our money in and somebody else became transformed. But we're still looking for the $20. see, saints, when we trust God with our money, God allows us to be a part of transforming lives. You see, saints, at the beginning I said when we walk into church, we would be nuts to put our money in knowing that we're not going to get anything out. But that was not true, because every time we put our money in, we do get something out. We get to be a part of transformation, saints. We get to be a part of that drug dealer's life, that drug dealer that says, I was on rock bottom and I didn't have nothing. And somebody from the church came and prayed with me. Somebody helped me with some food. Somebody helped me with some housing. And now I am not at the bottom anymore. I am set free. One thing I love about mega churches, saints, is that, you see, in order to be a mega church, somebody in that building had to give up some of these. It took some of these to pay for that big mega building. It took some of these to pay for that big mega choir that they have. It took some of these to pay for all that staff that they have, saints. But saints, when the people invested their money, every Sunday they get to see people give their lives to Christ. Every Sunday, if you go to a mega church, those people are running down the aisles to give their lives to Christ, saints. And it was because people in that congregation said, I'm going to give my $5. I'm going to give my $10. I'm going to give my $20. We're going to put it all together, saints, so that we can make a difference in the lives of others. But if we don't put anything in, saints, we cannot get anything out. It's absolutely impossible. God is waiting for us to be a part of transformed lives. God is waiting for us to be transformed, saints. And my final question is the same question we began with in our title. Are you ready to be set free to serve God? To serve God fully. Not just a little bit. Not just halfway. I'm talking about completely sold out to Jesus today. You see, saints, because when we're ready to be set free from the burdens and the despair of this world, Jesus is waiting there and saying, come all to me, all of you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you ready to be set free today? Let us pray. Gracious God, many of us are afraid and we don't understand, or we just don't trust, Lord Jesus. We really haven't given our hearts to you. We haven't become sold out. We are still wondering if there really is a God. And so we are struggling to even wonder, should we give anything? Should we give our money, our time, our talent? Should we give anything at all? But gracious God, Holy Spirit, let us all experience your love, your power, your transformation today. And press upon all of our hearts, Lord, that you are here. You have been here, Lord Jesus, even before we got here, Lord. That you will provide. That all we have to do is trust in you and obey you. Give our faith to you. Give our lives to you, Lord. And trust in you and watch that you will show us. You will show us how you will provide. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you have done in our past, and what you yet shall do. And it's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.